guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and brought to you by Gurkha Cigars, makers of the world's finest cigars. GurkhaCigars.com, check them out. Robbie Raz here with you, as always, from Cigar Federation in surprisingly hot California, Logan. It was like 103 yesterday.
It was like 100 today. I mean, I was reading something on like NASA or something. They said it's the hottest or second hottest September on record since recorded temperature, since they started recording the temperature.
When did they?
So basically, the world is warming up. I don't know, man, 150 years ago. Let's just say Al Gore got it right.
So is this like a Sharknado kind of thing? And
I think so, man. I think we're all, it's all going downhill.
It's the, we're all
like screwed. I would start stocking up on water right now.
So just enjoy it while you got it. I don't know why we open the show every week with a weather update. I don't know why that started, but it did.
Because we suck.
Yeah.
That is pretty boring.
Yeah. We've got John Huber from Crown Head Cigars here with us today. John, thanks for taking the time, man. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, man. Always. I was so excited that Logan is actually going to be on this thing as well. So thank you, Logan.
Thank you, sir.
That's actually legit.
Seriously, I'm being honest. I wasn't being sarcastic in the least bit. It's just like I don't get to see Logan all that much, so it's kind of fun.
True.
It is true, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah, it's very true.
No, busy, John popped man. In and he's like, "Oh, Logan, I didn't know you were like." It was totally genuine.
It was. It got me all choked up. Like the whole Brangelina thing's got me all choked up.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Is that really a thing? I saw that it was trending on Facebook.
Yeah, man, they're right. Done. History. Divorce.
What happens to all the kids? Didn't they adopt like 40 kids?
I think they take each one of them, cut them down the middle, and then Brad gets half, and then the other lady gets half.
That makes me think of that makes me think of Garbage Pail Kids for some reason.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. Here at Cigar Federation, we do not condone slicing children in half.
No, nor do
no,
I.
No, we do not.
All in jest, of course. Their marital status doesn't really impact my life, but it impacts all those kids. So hopefully
that is, having gone through that, it's nothing to joke about. But it's no bueno, no bueno. Yeah.
But Logan, are you? What are you smoking?
I'm smoking the waves, man.
The waves.
I haven't smoked the. I haven't smoked that.
It's because, John, you come up with all these names, man, that are all French or Samoan. I don't know how to pronounce any of that.
I'm not Dion Giolito. I didn't come up with all that Fume de Amor stuff, bro.
But that's like Spanish. That's like easy.
Fume de Amor is French, my friend.
No, that's Spanish.
Fume de Amor, isn't it? It's like all that stuff. What else has he got? That whole Epernay thing is all like French inspired.
Yeah, the Epernay region.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot. They got a lot of champagne there. Man. But I think it's, Logan, I think it's funny that you said that they come out in French or Samoan.
That's the Samoan part.
The waves, man. I thought it was Samoan, the word for waves or something.
Las Mareas is actually Spanish for the tides. We wanted to register Olas is actually waves, and that's what I wanted. But I couldn't use it as a brand. Our attorneys kicked it back, so I use it as a size within the brand of Las Mareas. So
the waves.
So yeah, I know there was a soft release of that cigar last year, correct?
Two, to be exact. Two different releases. We did one soft release as a pre-release to like 7 stores in the United States, I want to say. And then 2 or 3 months later, we did a wider pre-release of, I think, maybe 20,000 cigars total to nationwide kind of thing of only 2 sizes. The cat's out of the bag. It's 4 sizes, final packaging, final release, production, what have you. So it's out there. Go ahead.
The last ones, they just said a white band, right?
Yeah.
Blue.
Yeah. No, I think the first release we actually took a pen and wrote on like a post-it note, just like stuck it on there and shipped it. And it said Las Mareas. So, and then the second one is when we did the actual white band. And the third one, we took a stamp and stamped everything. But, yeah, no, it was pretty down and dirty. So
I went a little bit.
Blue band?
There was one with a blue. Yeah, there was.
Okay, because I bought a box of the blue ones.
Could this get any more confusing? I know.
It's so complicated.
It confuses me, and I was the idiot behind it. So, yeah.
A lot to keep up with. I'm smoking the drumstick myself, and I'm about halfway through. And this was our cigar of the year, I think, in 2014?
I think.
Or 13.
I think I got the wooden thing.
The
I did.
And you guys did your acceptance speech video. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
That was fun. Yeah.
So, yeah, these have
taking a walk down memory lane right now, folks.
Oh, I know.
These have aged really nicely, man. This is such a great cigar. So, how's everything going, man? Tell us about, are things calming down after the show? I mean, I know you kind of get all ramped up and get so much crap you have to do for the show, and then you get home and you got to ship all that crap out. And does it calm down?
I wish that was the extent of the chaos that ensued post show, but unfortunately this year, like any other brand owner would tell you, that was the least of our worries, was getting to the show, launching the products, and then coming home and shipping everything. This whole FDA thing has really kind of thrown a monkey wrench into everybody's days. So we've been, conservatively speaking, I would say like 50% of our time is consumed with the ever-going saga that is the FDA deeming regulations that actually nobody knows what they are to this date, including the FDA, because I think everybody would agree in saying that they wanted to release these regulations and say, we're regulating OTP tobacco, but we don't know how we're going to do it, but we're just going to tell you we're going to do it. And guess what? The clock's ticking now, so we'll figure it out as we go along. And that's literally what we've been dealing with as on the manufacturer side. Because every day, you talk to five people and five people have five interpretations of one regulation. And the FDA has been anything but clear. They've been anything but helpful. It's a travesty the way that the government works or doesn't work. It's dysfunction at the highest level. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, we even had a discussion just before the show. We don't need to get into it, but there's very clear different interpretations of one specific thing, and it's just a minor detail. But
yeah, exactly. I mean, just something as small and seemingly as irrelevant as that, and then you can't get any clarification from these people. They should have waited and taken the time to say, okay, here it is spelled out, da 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 da. But they didn't. They're just throwing. Pardon my French. Can I swear on this thing yet?
Negative.
So they're throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks. So
thank you for asking.
Yeah, I thought I'd be polite, actually. Well, there's a no swear rule in my house. We have a 14-year-old daughter, so I have to be very cognizant of that. Otherwise, I might have to initiate the swear jar, and I don't want to do that. So I'm trying to clean up my act in terms of that. But no, yeah, the whole FDA thing, man, it's been an absolute fiasco. It really has been. Listen, I mean, our mindset is that we're going to be here for a good long time. We've done all we can to protect everything up to August 8th and going forward past that. But the things that you have to do and the guesswork and the logistics and all of the garbage that goes along with it is superfluous to what we really should be focusing on, which is, creating cigars and and, really just kind of doing what we love to do. It's really gotten in the way of things, unfortunately, but it's a necessary evil, I suppose.
Yeah. Logan, you were going to say something?
No, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's bananas. I mean, and it's just hard. I mean, the hard part is, I mean, like you were saying before the show, we were talking about something and your lawyer has a different interpretation than my lawyer does. And like, they're both lawyers. They should have pretty much the same answer. You know what I mean? On something that's supposed to be.
It's because it's wide open for interpretation. They haven't defined anything. They don't know. I mean, last week they finally posted a list of 55 retailers that got the warning label, the warning letters. Did you guys see this from the FDA? That got pinched, right? So you go through that entire list and not one brick and mortar retail tobacco store was pinched for selling a Crown Head cigar, a Tatuaje cigar, Partagas, Magnum, whatever. No, it's all, cheap mass market stuff. It's all a gas and sips. All right, if you guys saw what I just saw, my little 14-month-old daughter just walked up out of her bath. She's completely nude. So I know there's some sort of thing that there's no nudity on the show. So.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
But darn, she's cute. But no, not one store was a retail tobacco store. They were all pinched for selling mass market garbage and Philly blunts and this and that at Phil's Gas and Sip and this Kmart and this Walmart and this Mapco. There was one guy, I think it was Island Smoke Shop, that got pinched for selling a CAO cherry bomb, which I could have told you was a bad idea 10 years ago when it happened. Yeah. So at any rate. But, so, I mean, it's just, the FDA doesn't understand that there really is a difference between what we do and what these other cats are doing. But unfortunately we get lumped in with it and they don't really care. And that's the most frustrating part, is that you try to educate them and tell them, and they're just like, what? I can't hear you. And this is our government, man. It's supposed to serve the people, not the other way around. And when people are adamant against this and against the overreaching of the FDA, sweetheart, and they turn a deaf ear on it. That's when government's gotten too far along and gotten overstepped their boundaries, in my opinion. I don't know whatever about politics, but that's my layman's interpretation of what's going on right now.
I heard a rumor, John. I want to know if you can confirm or deny this rumor. It's not about you, and I won't tell you who I heard it from, other than it was someone in the industry, obviously someone very reputable. If I was to say the name, everyone would know who it is. But
is there anybody reputable in this industry anymore? Honestly, I mean, it's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it?
Well, okay. Let's say, the shortest midget. We have one of the shortest midgets in terms of reputation. The tallest midget, I'm sorry. The tallest midget. Okay. But we've got that they kind of living around the DC area, and they were there and they kind of met someone and of an agency that's helping the FDA test cigars, and they bought all this fancy equipment to test the CO2 and all this crazy stuff off the cigars. And the guy was like, I don't know why you guys are doing this, because people don't even inhale cigars. And the people were like, what? You don't inhale cigars? Like, they had absolutely no clue. Like, they had absolutely no clue.
I don't know if that rumor is true or not, but
that's an appropriate response.
I agree.
The scream is an appropriate response.
What are you doing?
Although she sounded like she was screaming because she was happy.
She is. It makes me happy, too. I the first I've heard of that rumor, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least, because I don't really think that, again, that the FDA has a full grasp of knowledge about what our industry does. I don't think that they know what's entailed in regulating our industry. I don't think they know the difference between a cigar and a Marlboro cigarette. And I'll be shocked to find out if they do. So good luck, FDA.
Yeah, I heard that same rumor, and I actually heard it at the same time that Logan heard it. And it was this kind of a stunned, like, jaw drop kind of moment. And then it was like, well, wait a second, why am I stunned by that? I probably shouldn't be stunned by that.
You know, and then this whole thing is, we're protecting the youth from tobacco. Okay, great. When you got an idiot like, how Philip Morris was in the Wall Street Journal last week, and how they're going out and trying to literally cultivate young customers by giving out free packs of cigarettes and all these t-shirts at concerts and da 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 whatever. This happened on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. I'd be the first one to jump on board and say, yeah, you're absolutely wrong for doing that. You shouldn't do that. But we, the premium cigar industry, do not do that. Never have. We don't try to get some kid in a school year and go, hey, man, check out this Robusto. You might get hooked on this. It's like... has anybody from the FDA ever walked into a premium cigar store and seen, first of all, you have to be over 18 and get into most of these stores in the first place. There's no minors that are going in there that are hanging out like smoke. They have no clue, and they don't want to learn. They don't want to be educated. And that's the frustrating part to me. And if I wasn't all tatted up and I wouldn't look like a hoodlum, I would love to go on the hill and voice my peace of mind to some of these idiots up there. But I'll leave that for the good-looking guys like Rocky Patel and George Padron. So,
It's true. Well, you get to voice your opinion at the ballot box here in about T-minus, what, 6 weeks?
Yeah.
8 weeks?
Unfortunately, I don't think that's where the issue ends. I really don't. I don't know. Here's the thing. Like, there's this omnibus thing that's coming up at the end of the year. And let's just say we get an exemption completely, which I think, yeah, it's a year. And guess what? These bad guys, I wanted to say something else, but these guys are going to come at us again next year and again the next year. Let's face it. The whole goal of the FDA is to eliminate tobacco, period. That's, as soon as you get that through your head, you're better off you are. They can't outlaw tobacco because the government won't allow them to do that because they're making a buttload of money on excise tax and S-chip and this, that, the other, whatever. So they can't outlaw it, but they sure can squeeze you and squeeze you and squeeze you until you no longer can be in business anymore. And that is their ultimate goal. They don't care. They don't want to learn about cigars. They don't want to be educated. They don't want to see who our customers are and how we're not really marketing to youth or any of that stuff. They don't care. And guess what? You know what? It's not going to stop there. They're going to go into everything else. They're going to go into, they're going to tell you everything that you should. Absolutely. And it's not going to stop with the cigar industry or the tobacco industry. It's going to go, where do you draw the line? They go into spirits next? They go into wine? I mean, you know, it's like, I think it just comes down to who has the highest paid lobbyists, who's, you know, if you got money in politics, then you've got power. When you got power, you can sway decisions. Unfortunately, we don't have that lobbying power. We're a small industry. We're a niche business. We're that big. We're less than 1% of what the entire tobacco industry generates in revenue. Less than 1%. But so it is what it is.
That's a tough topic, and we can keep going on it. We've got a bunch of audience questions we're going to get to.
Sure.
You guys, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. This next segment is brought to you by Cigar Oasis. I use Cigar Oasis. Logan, I think you use Cigar Oasis. John, you use Cigar Oasis?
What's Cigar Oasis?
Cigar Oasis. Yeah, you use Cigar Oasis.
John, this is the point where you don't talk and you just kind of sit there and look.
I love Cigar Oasis. They're great.
There you go. Boom.
We love them. Everybody here in my house uses Cigar Oasis.
Officially endorsed by Crown Head Cigars. Set it and forget it. They've got the best stuff in the industry. Check them out at CigarOasis.com. We got a bunch of audience questions here. This one is kind of dabbling into the FDA stuff from Shadow Bates. He's curious. I don't know how much you can go into this. If there are any projects that you just kind of had to kill because you didn't have the time to get it to market and everything before that August deadline.
Yeah. I know one. It's called The Hideout. That's one. At least one.
We killed
at
that
least
one.
One.
No,
that one never even was born to be killed. That was like – anyway, no.
I want you just to officially say, John, that was a pretty good idea.
That was a pretty good
clever
idea.
It's pretty
some
clever.
On some planet somewhere in the universe, that was a good idea, just not Earth.
So for those of you who don't know, I think this
that's,
was –
that's some history.
This was 4 years ago.
J.D. Howard.
4 years ago.
It was after J.D. Howard, which is 2013, so it was like 3 years ago.
Yeah,
it was like 14. It was like 2.5 years.
When Logan pitched the Crown Heads hideout, the J.D. Howard hideout, and I think it was quiet for about 5 or 6 seconds, and John said, yeah, Logan, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
that was it.
But that's just not going
to
happen.
But that one will never go away. But so there were projects that you wanted to get to, and
Yeah,
I mean, just stuff you had to leave on the cutting room floor, so to speak.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you kind of, at least for us, for me, I try to work, you know, a year or two out, and I have these, you know, you can ask Mike Gonder. It's like I always came up with, like, I had the blueprint, and I had the blueprint 2.0, and this is how this is all going to go down. And, there's a lot of stuff that just had to die at the wayside, man. So it's not to say we won't have new stuff coming out that we've protected, but it's not exactly the way I would have seen it, you know. And then, of course, you know, any capability of doing stuff like on the fly, like a store exclusive, done, you know, which that could have been fun. I had several retailers that had been very patient and supportive that were waiting to do a Crown Heads exclusive. And I really just kind of kept pushing it back. And then, you know, as of August 8th, it just died. So there was a lot of stuff that we could have done that we'll never see a light of day because of the FDA.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
It is.
Speaking of store exclusives, is it Stefan or Stefan? Logan, do you know?
You feel like calling it.
I think every time I just call him
Reverend. I just call him Reverend.
Whatever, Stefan. I think I call you Stefan all the time. I think that's wrong. I think it's Stefan. He wants to know, and this is probably a question for both of you guys, 729 Callaway Lane or the Buckingham?
Which would I prefer?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
It's like asking George Foreman, do you like George II or George III? It's like you can't pick one over the other, man. They're apples and oranges. I mean, you're San Andreas Mexican versus Habano. It's just two completely different smokes. I honestly really couldn't pick because they are that polar apart. So, yeah.
Logan, one's closer to your heart, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
He's going to pick the Callaway. I mean, really?
Yeah, Callaway Lane, right? Like, I mean, both the cigars are great in their own right. Like, and both of them had, you know, special meaning. They're very special projects, and we're honored to do both of them. But, I mean, if I was going to say, hey, you know, which one I like better, I mean, obviously it would be the 729 Callaway Lane, because that's something, I mean, John, I think the day that she was born, I texted you and hounded you about this, like in retailers that didn't get stuff done. You need to be more like Logan to just annoy the crap out of John every day. Yeah. But I mean, it was 2 years in the making, basically. You know, so I mean, obviously, I'm just glad that we're able to do it when we got it done. So
I was excited to be able to do it too, just because beyond the cigar, just because of what was behind it, and you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for little girls. You know, we just had our little girl for 14 months ago, so. That was kind of a neat thing to do, be a part of.
Yeah, for me, I would go with the Callaway Lane as well. I've smoked both of them, and I just the Callaway Lane is more in my wheelhouse. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Question here from KY, and I always think of the jelly whenever I say KY. What are the differences between the three Crown Heads broadleaf releases this year? And he's referring to the three that have. I believe all three of them have been released. It's Carême, right?
Carême. Le Carême.
Le Carême. Damn it. I almost got it.
Whatever. Le Carême. We did Broadleaf on Angel's Anvil, and we did Broadleaf on Las Calaveras. Well, for starters, the fillers and the binders, even though they're all from Nicaragua, are completely different. Actually, the binder on Le Carême is Sumatra. So there is that difference. And it's also, you're talking about two different houses. You're talking about La Alianza in the DR versus my father's cigars in Nicaragua. Both, to me, top of the game manufacturers, top of the game factories. But each one is going to have their different nuances, their different ways of processing, of fermenting, of harvesting, cultivating, all that goes into that. You can have the same tobacco, but when it gets out of each place, it's going to have different characteristics. I would just say smoke them for yourself, man. And, you know, I could lay it out on paper for you and you could see, you know, the differences or the similarities. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, what matters is your palate. You tell me if you get more spice from this or you get a little bit more sweet notes from that or you get a little more coffee from that. It all comes down to the individual experience. I mean, just to say, oh, you did three broadleaf cigars, they're all the same. Asinine.
It's like saying you've got three different brown liquors. They're all the same.
Yeah, exactly. I've got three cars. They all have engines in them. Really?
Fair point. They all run on gas. They must be the same.
Yeah, exactly. It must be the same thing.
Maybe. Please. Logan, have you smoked all three of those?
I've smoked, let me think. I don't know if I smoked the Las Calaveras just because it sold so quick, but I did smoke the Angel's Anvil, and I dug it.
I
love
that
cigar. That was a great cigar. And then the Crema, which I'm not even going to try to pronounce it because I'm just going to call it what I want to call
so
it.
So easy. Le Carême. Carême.
Yeah, La Carême. Crema. The Crema.
Okay.
It's pretty good. It's not necessarily in my wheelhouse. It's one of those cigars that I kind of, it's not like the Four Kicks in any way, but I liken it to the Four Kicks as like a cigar that you have to really slow down and pay attention to. And it's like a nuanced type of cigar where for me at least, the Angel's Anvil was, you know, higher strength, higher body, and something that can just, that I dug, you know, but not that it was a bad cigar, but it was a little bit, it's more of a Robbie speed than my speed, but still a good cigar. And it was nice to see you actually do a full production of the Crema with old EPC, because you haven't done one since Jericho Hill, right? Or not Jericho Hill, I'm sorry, J.D. Howard.
Correct. 2013 was our last regular production line with EPC, and that was J.D. Howard. So, yeah, this is the first year since then. So, it's all, just because we haven't done a regular production, so we've done every TAA release, every TAA exclusive that we've done to this date has been with Ernie. Talk to him on a weekly basis, and we're very close, very tight, and always will be. It's a good man.
Well, here's a question for you.
Oh, okay. Fire away.
I mean, and I get it. Like, I mean, nothing against Ernie. I think Ernie puts out some great cigars. I mean, but I got to ask, I mean, do you think the scale of my father's operation is more suited for a full production run than Ernie's? Not that it's anything against Ernie, but you've been doing the smaller batch stuff. Is he more likely to get some limited tobaccos or do stuff in smaller runs and can handle that, where my father, obviously being a bigger operation, is more suited for a full-scale run? I mean, just curiosity question.
I can tell you in terms of the number of pairs that they have, meaning bunchers and rollers, wrappers, whatever. My father is probably six times the size of La Alianza. Just vastly bigger. However, have been for quite some time at full capacity. The thing that you run into in Esteli with my father's cigars, in my opinion, is, you know, you get guys that go in there, they train in, and they're rolling, and they're up and going, and they're producing, and then you'll have the smaller little chinchalas or whatever poach those guys away, because all of a sudden, oh, you worked at my father? Oh, you worked under Pepin and Jaime, so you've got your master's degree, so we'll pay you $5 more over here, you know, or whatever. So, you know, even though they've got like maybe, you know, 150 pairs, and they have room physically to grow more, they're constantly losing people and having to bring people in, retrain people, and so this process goes and goes. My father's been at capacity for quite some time. I would love to have done more stuff with them this year, to be honest with you. But, you know, the word that I received was that between their stuff, which obviously is, you know, Cigar of the Year, what, last year, I think, or whatever, Pete's stuff, Ashton and us, they're at, hold on one second. Yes. I told you, my daughter just went down. I'm trying to, if I talk lower, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can bump your audio up a little bit.
You might want to bump my audio up because I'm trying to, or we could try to do it in the other room. But
anyway. No, you're good.
Okay. They're at full capacity. It's not a fair comparison between the two factories, to be honest. And in terms of getting like small batch tobaccos and stuff, everybody has access to more or less the same tobaccos for that, you know. But I think where my father might have the upper hand is they have 11, maybe more now, fincas in and around Esteli that where they grow their own tobaccos. And just, I think that's where they really excel, is the agricultural aspect of the business. It's amazing what they can produce. For instance, Las Marias is all 100% Garcia tobacco, even the wrapper. This is the first time we've had access to that. So that wrapper, which is Corojo 99 seed, was grown under the eye of Pepin and Jaime. And as I was told, it was described to me as the original Cuban seed. And when Pepin tells you something like that, and he says, I'm growing it, and he's very proud of that, you're like, I'm on board. I don't know what we're going to do with this, but I'm on board. Let's book it. So I think that's where they really, where people don't give the Garcia family enough credit. They think that they're just a factory, but man, from the agricultural aspect, head and shoulders above everybody else, I think.
Logan, does that answer your question?
They really, after they stopped kind of using Aganorsen tobacco and was it 07 and 08, that's when, I mean, Jaime is kind of more of the agricultural guy, right? Is it, or is that wrong? Because that's what I've always assumed.
he, from what I was told, is he actually studied agriculture in university. So he has that background. And of course, his dad literally, I mean, grew up in factories in Cuba. So, I mean, you put the two heads together and you've got an amazing working base there. And it's just what they're capable of doing is just light years ahead. I mean, just little things that they do differently than everybody else. And I was, the story I was told was when they first started the factory in, I think it was 09 in Esteli, and they were trying to go around to everybody to buy tobacco. People were not that receptive. They kind of saw the Garcias as a threat. So that, you know, people weren't exactly bending over backwards to help them. So in Jaime's words, as he told me, he's like, I decided that I'm going to do this myself. So we started buying, you know, land, started growing, started, you know, one farm, two, three, four. And that's what they've done. So, I mean, they've every bit of success that family has garnered is so well deserved. It really is. I mean, they've worked blood, sweat, and tears. It sounds corny, but it's true.
Yeah, it's good to hear that. I've never really heard any kind of stories like that. It's good to hear that someone can start the way that they started and be where they are now, just from hard work. You know, I mean, obviously there's obvious skill there, but I mean, the hard work has paid off. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're here with John Huber talking about Crown Head Cigars and all things of that nature. This next segment is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars. Gurkha Cigars manufactures the world's finest cigars. Try the new 93-rated Heritage today. I smoked the Heritage Maduro. It's pretty good. I haven't smoked the Natural yet, but the Maduro is pretty good. Let's jump in. We've got a few more audience questions here. The requisite Lancero question. Comes from On. On wants to know, he says, there have been no Crown Heads Lanceros this year. He says, is that more of a reflection of my father's Lancero production capacity or a lower demand for Lanceros? And he wants to know, how about a Las Calaveras Lancero?
What's the gentleman's name that asked this question?
Han.
Han, here it is in a nutshell. A Lancero is the most popular size that does not sell at retail. That, in a nutshell, is the answer to your question. The last Lancero we did was the Jericho Hill project. Jericho Hill.
Oh, yeah.
12 Honest Men, right?
Yeah.
Great cigar. I got nothing but good feedback and everything. I explained the project to our sales guys, and they were like, oh, double that order. We could sell that easily in a week. Da, 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 da.
Nope.
No. Let's just say.
Nope.
Yeah, let's just say it didn't happen that way. As such, there won't be any Lanceros in the near future. It really is. It's the most popular size. Everybody likes to geek out about and talk about Lanceros, Petit Lanceros. I think for some reason people have this perception that if you say you like that particular size, that all of a sudden you're perceived as a connoisseur, an aficionado, an enthusiast, or what have you. It doesn't sell at the retail level. It just doesn't sell.
No.
You know? Even as a limited one and done with Jericho Hill, and that's how we marketed that, if I was grading that project, I'd be generously giving it a C minus, but I'd realistically be giving it a D plus.
Wow.
So.
And that's a fantastic cigar.
I kind of think so. Yeah. I really do.
Hey, but where I come from, D's get degrees, baby.
I don't know what that means, but I'm not sure.
Rob got it.
Anyway, we'll move on. Another one here from KY. And this is kind of an interesting question. So he says, from the entire Crown Heads portfolio, the whole shebang, which blend would you prefer as your first smoke of the day and why, and which would you prefer as your last smoke of the day? I love the vibe we're getting from the music in the background.
Can you hear the baby music? That's Baby Einstein. That's the lullaby stuff for AJ.
No, it's like there's the music in the background, and you're kind of like you're telling us a story in soft tones. I feel like we should be sitting. Yeah, we should sit in front of the fireplace or something.
Pretty soon, Logan's gonna have a bottle, and he's gonna be going to sleep. Like,
oh, dude, This is nice, man.
I know.
This is as chill as Logan's been in a while.
This is about as behind the scenes as you get. You're in my house with my wife and daughter, and you hear what goes on with the lullaby music every night. Yeah. So, you know, if I had to pick like a morning cigar, right? It's difficult because a lot of times I like to smoke something very full-bodied first thing in the morning because that's when your palate's fresh and I want to really, you know, take it in the teeth kind of thing. But there are also times where one cigar that stands out in my mind specifically, aside from Four Kicks, would be the Mason-Dixon Project Southern Edition 2014. We used a Connecticut Ecuador wrapper, and it paired beautifully with coffee. It was just the perfect morning cigar. And in fact, that's one of those projects where that I wanted to turn into a full line down the road because I really thought that that blend would work well in our portfolio. We had a hole in our portfolio for a mild cigar, something creamy, buttery, with a little bit of structure and spice. And that cigar was so good. But again, people didn't gravitate towards it because it was a lighter wrapper. It wasn't dark, heavy, oily. It was this light wrapper, like, oh, I can't sell this. Well, have you smoked it? No. Why? You know, it's like people just, it's like, anyway. So I would say that in the morning. And then if I had to pick a cigar to go with in the evening, like to end the day, probably like Tennessee Waltz, just for a lot of reasons, because I like the body, I like the flavor, I like the structure, the spice, but it's also a very sentimental cigar for me. It always will be. So.
Yeah, I think I would probably go Four Kicks in the morning.
Yeah.
I still love that cigar.
It's great.
It's a good cigar.
Classic blend.
And we talk about it like it's so old. It's only a couple of years old. I mean, well, 4 or 5 now. But,
it'll be in November. It'll be 5 years.
So. Yeah, that's nothing. It's barely.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's true. Yeah, I still like that cigar too.
I still love that blend. And I'd finish the day probably, I was going to say Jericho Hill, but then when you say Tennessee Waltz, I'd probably do the same.
Yeah,
I tend to forget about that cigar. Which one?
The same blend, but the Pinolero, the Hawaii version. One.
It's Paniolo.
Dude, just you know what I'm talking about. Just roll with it, dog.
Those wasn't that like an AJ Fernandez cigar, a Pinolero?
It was. You're right. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, you know what I mean. The P one, the Hawaii one. You know what I'm talking about.
You were in the ballpark.
I was in the that one just. That's a great cigar.
Yeah. There's so many to choose from. You know, it'd be really tough. But those are two that I would throw out there as an AM, PM kind of selection.
Okay. Yeah. Logan, what would be your AM cigar?
Oh, man, it's tough. Like, I'm kind of like John. Like, sometimes I like kind of a kick in the teeth in the morning sometimes. But recently I have been gravitating to more Connecticut-type stuff in the morning. So I don't know. I mean, still one of my favorites, and I know you can't get it anymore and all this kind of stuff, but I still have a soft spot for the old Mule Kick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still have a soft spot for that cigar.
That is, I think I still have one, maybe two of those. One or two, I think, floating around somewhere. But yeah, I think those are probably, and I start to think about your line. You've produced so many cigars that I forget about the Mason Dixon, and you did that. You did 2 different years of that. Yeah, that's 4. That's 4 blends.
Yeah. Are you doing one this year?
We're moving.
It'll be about the time.
Did we do a Mason Dixon this year? Yeah.
You
know, we did. No. We did 15.
You did 14. And we did 14. You're doing one this year.
We are not doing 16. So you guys got a scoop on that. We are not doing a 2016.
Okay.
So, are you doing a limited edition of the La Imperiosa?
No. Next guess.
Hey, Bob. Are you doing a winter small version of the – are you doing anything?
No. Honestly, man.
All the stuff I expect to come out, and you're not doing it.
The rest of 2016 is pretty much done, man. The Carem and Las Marias was it. That's it. You know, I mean, even before, I have to be honest with you, even before the FDA deeming regulations came out and everything, we had planned to chop Mason-Dixon. We weren't going to do a Mason-Dixon for the fourth quarter. I was probably going to do something, but it wasn't going to be Mason-Dixon. Because, again, you know, 2015, it just, you know, we did the 14 and it did well. Then we got to do the 15, and here's what the retailer says. Well, still got 14s on the shelf. I'm like, okay, I understand that, but the 14 that you have there is a completely different cigar, wrapper, binder, and filler than the 15. It's a completely different product.
Well, still got 14s on the shelf.
It's like, dude, do you not understand? You have like a Connecticut wrapper on the shelf. I'm giving you a broadleaf wrapper, right? It's like, do you not bring in new cigars? It's so frustrating, man. It really is. So I said, you know what? Can we swear yet? Is it time to swear?
No, not okay. Yet. We got like 10 minutes.
All right. So I said, the heck with that.
You jerk off.
No. Yeah. So we weren't going to do Mason Dixon. So that's off the table for this year. So.
Okay. Let me ask another question.
Okay.
So with stuff that you've protected pre August 8th legally and all that kind of stuff, up until August 8th of 2018, uh-huh. How many new things can we see from Crowned Heads, approximately?
I would say that you will probably see two new releases between the beginning of 17 and the August 18th. You'll see one a year.
Okay.
I could tell you right now what it's going to be, but I mean it would mean nothing to you really. But
is it a name I can pronounce?
No, man. I'm starting to wonder. Pete Alero. Really?
Dude, it looks like Pete Alero, man.
Paniolo and Pete Alero, it's like.
Dude, I'm not Samoan, bro. Like, I'm not a Polynesian. I don't know how to pronounce that crap.
I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah, it'll be a name you can pronounce.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Whatever you're ready to let it, the name loose, call me and point me to the article and have me try to pronounce it to see if this could actually be done. Because I doubt it.
That'll be fun. Okay. Got a question here from Mark Lambert. He says he's smoking the Le Carême, right? Mm-hmm. Boom. Great. See, I can pronounce it. So he's smoking it now. He's loving it. So he just posted this like 2 minutes ago. So he's watching the show live. So Mark, thanks for tuning in. And he wants to know, of the Le Carême, which Vitola do you think showcases the blend best? Or you which know, do you prefer?
My preference is, I would think it's between the Robusto and the Cananazo. The Cananazo is a 5 7/8, 52, and it just has this rich, chocolate, creamy vibe to it. The Robusto 5 by 50 is a similar, but not as much, I think. The Cossacos, which is a great little morning smoke. He's like,
I'm making a list of all these things that Logan can't say. Logan. It's fun, though.
Cossacos, what is that?
I thought it was like Canosos.
Cananazos, Cossacos is 5 3/8, 42. Great morning smoke, but a little bit sharper, a little bit more intense. A couple more edges in it, I think, flavor-wise. I would probably go with the Cananazo, the 5 7/8, 52. Really just a nice, even, balanced, rich profile to it.
Nice. Now, I don't know. Mark didn't say which Vitola he's smoking, but
in there, there's a Hermosa, isn't there?
Hermosa number one. That? No, you're right. Hermosa number one. It's a 6 1/2 by 48, I believe.
Ooh, that's a nice size.
That's the one I smoked.
Yeah, it's a great size, but lately I've been smoking shorter, smaller cigars lately. I've been been kind of on a Corona kick lately. I like, for some reason. So I've been smoking a lot of the Cossacos, some other stuff been laying around. So
now go ahead, Logan. I was going to say, go ahead.
Well, I just got a question because it just popped in my head. Can you confirm or deny your boy Old Wes?
Yeah.
I know he had a birthday recently. Is he really as old as Facebook says he is?
I don't look at Facebook. What does it say?
It said he's 37.
No.
Bullshit. I thought he was like maybe 30, like no, what, 28, 29.
If Wes is 33 or 34, I'd say that's about right. Who said 37?
That's what it said on Facebook, and
I'm gonna have to.
I'm like, there's no way this dude's older than me.
Now I can even ride him harder about his choice of like clothes. It's like I was in Target the other day. I was in the toddler section, and I was like, they had these toddler shoes, and I'm like, those are just like Wes's shoes. So I took a picture and I'm like texting Wes and Mike and Adam. I'm like, look at Wes's footwear. It's in the toddler section. You know, he's like, he's the cool kid in the office. He's like, oh man, these are Target. This is John Varvatos. I'm like, you still look like a douche. I mean, I don't care what label it is. It just don't look good, bro. That's just my opinion, but whatever. No, I don't think he's 37. I think Wes is like 33 or 34.
Okay.
Something like that. But, Wes, I give him a lot of shit. We love to give Wes shit, but man, I love that guy to death. And that comes from my heart. I watched that guy really progress in the business. We all have, actually. From the point where, like, he was kind of unsure, you know, about the whole gig. And then now it's like, he just walks in like he owns the place half the time. In a good way, not in an arrogant way. And that's, I think, what people really kind of vibe with Wes on, is that he's a really down-to-earth guy, knows his stuff, great representation of the brand, great brand ambassador. So much love for Wes, whether you're 33 or 37, son. I don't know. So.
Cool. You're going to keep John busy with that last little segment. John gets to go in and edit that out for you.
What did I do? I sweared? What did I swear?
A couple of times, yeah. Really? You dropped a few. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Keeps John busy.
We've got bombs over there.
You're listening to Cigar Chat. We got one segment left, the last few minutes here. Logan, this segment is brought to us by who?
Drew Estate. If you're not on Drew Diplomat, I say it every week, people. If you're not on Drew Diplomat, you're a poser. Get on Drew Diplomat. So I don't have to say this every week. Do it now.
Is that their official tagline? If you're not on Drew Diplomat, you're a poser? Because I kind of like
No,
it.
Basically. No, they basically told me, they're like, yeah, you know, just go ahead and kind of say whatever you want so we don't have to go through legal, so there's no real consequences on our end. So just make it up. And I said, okay, I'm going to say this. And they're like, okay.
Yeah,
so I just basically, if anybody's a lawyer, probably just saw that they actually kind of agreed with me. So yes, I guess that is their official tagline. I don't know.
Well, there you go. It's official according to Logan. I don't know what that means, but how much time do we have left? Just a few minutes, yeah?
We have like right at 10 minutes.
Oh, perfect. So I got a question here. It's Crowned Heads related, but we're getting more into the gear side of things. We're going to have, I know we've got some, you're a big hat guy. You keep my hat covered or my head covered. I think I'm wearing a Crowned Heads hat in damn near every show that we do.
I love you for it, man. Thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you, you send me anything that's black and orange, you know I'm going to wear it, regardless of how bad they're playing.
Dude, if I turn this thing around, you'll see my shelf of all the Giants championship hats from New Era with the tags on them and everything. I'm very Bay Area till I die, man.
Nice. I'll return the favor. I'll get you some local stuff. Tripp or Trent, you know, whatever you want to call him. He's a rate. I wasn't there for that, but it's
Paniolo, Panalero, Tripp, Trent.
Same thing.
It was so awesome. I didn't call him Trent.
So Trent is Tripp is a raging.
Yeah, you got it.
He's a raging hat geek, right? He's all about the hats.
He is.
Yeah.
And he's got a face made for it. You want to cover as much as you can with Tripp.
That's kind of mean.
It's Trent.
Or Tripp.
We call him Double Down.
Okay.
What's the best way to get a hold of new Crown Heads? Have you ever thought about starting up a hat club? I don't know what that would look like, but that's his question.
The first answer to the first question, you can go to crownheads.com, click on the store tag, it'll take you to the hardware store, and we have some of our hats up there. But 9 times out of 10, when a cat asks me this question, it means, where do you find the New Era made hats? Like what Robbie's wearing, the fitteds, the flex fits, exactly, with the flag. The short answer is, man, they're just not for sale. We never sell them. It's a gentleman's agreement that I have with a good friend of mine that I've known for about 10 years who works at New Era. He's in charge of player development. He's a big cigar fan of ours. And we just have a scholarship program, mutual scholarship. So I keep him in good cigars, and he keeps us in hats, and he knows how much I geek out about them. So, I come up with the designs, the coloration, the scheme, the designs and all that. That's one of my things that I love to do is the headwear and design all the headwear. The best way, a lot of times if people contact me, I'll tell them, you know, if I have a size in stock, I'll send it to you, because I just like to hook up people and make them happy. And then, Robbie, if you want to give this gentleman my email address, you're more than welcome to. And if I have his size, I'll send him a fitted. But the second part of that question, I would love to extend the Crown Heads brand into other arenas besides cigars. I have always thought that was the big, one of the reasons why we came up with a very obscure name 5 years ago was because I didn't want to just label us as like, you know, Condor Huber cigars, or more fittingly, Huber Condor cigars.
That'd have been a real bad idea.
That would have really sucked.
Right?
Is that just because Mike's not here and he can't?
No, I'm just messing with him. We just jab each other back and forth. But I didn't want to pigeonhole us into, neither one of us wanted to pigeonhole to just that. So, if you think about it and you really open your eyes, Crown Heads is the name of a brand that could fit into Crown Heads apparel, headwear,
coffee,
spirits,
anything.
Craft beer,
nice.
Coffees, anything. It's just a great name that we helped, that we could, you know, establish a certain level of excellence and quality in the cigar arena, and then maybe we could take that and go somewhere else with it. So yeah, it's not out of the question.
If you need a master brewer, I know a guy.
If you need a coffee guy,
here's the thing. It's like I've drank, true story, I've drank coffee since I was in second grade. So I'm that is no joke, man. That's no joke. Seriously, every day since I was in second grade, I've drank coffee for breakfast. Don't ask. A while ago, I asked my mother, I'm like, why did you give me coffee when I was in second grade? What are you in second grade, like 8 years old, 7 years old, if that, right?
Sure.
She's like, I don't know. I thought it would be a good way for you to start your day. So I was like, every breakfast. So I'm like physically like addicted to coffee. I cannot go without coffee. Otherwise, I'll have like severe withdrawal. So I could see getting into coffee. Spirits and beers and that kind of thing, probably not as much, just because if I don't use the product, it's hard for me to get into the product and I don't drink spirits. Hate to bust everybody's bubble, but I don't drink whiskey, wine, whatever. Da, da, da. Very seldom drink beer. If it is, it's a Corona Light with Mexican food. I've always loved wine, but not to the extent of like Pete Johnson, you know. In fact, I've cut way back on wine too. So kind of a boring person, but I could definitely see getting into, now that I think about it, I'm pretty boring. But I could see getting into other areas that we can extend the brand into, like apparel, streetwear. I love, like surf and skate inspired streetwear. I love, hence the flat bills that everybody, mm-hmm. I'm going to go off on a tangent here about flat bills, right? So the reason why I do a lot of hats and a flat bill is because guess what? You can wear it flat if you think that looks cool, and then you can also curve the bill. If you have a hat that's already pre-curved, you can't wear it flat. So it kills me when I get these emails like, oh, why do you guys have to do these flat bills? Why can't you do curved bills? I'm like, moron, all you got to do is take the hat and curve it. That's how
dude, put a baseball in there, wrap it with a rubber band, let it sit overnight. You. You're fine.
New era, the leader. The leader in the category. All their stuff comes out flat, and guess what? You bend it, you fold it, you mold it. It's like, that is such a pet peeve of mine. It's like when people go, oh, why don't you make curved bills? Why don't you take the bill and just go like that?
So hats are fitted hats, like pro style baseball fitted hats, have always had flat bills. Going back to forever.
Exactly.
Just like you do whatever. Not everybody does it. Some guys wear them flat nowadays and whatever.
Right.
But back in the day, it's just you just form it. And I'm just used to that. Like I formed this one.
I'm talking baseball in the cap, wrap it with a rubber band,
leave it overnight.
Put it under your mattress with your glove, and you're good to go.
It's true though. But so don't complain that I'm doing flat bill hats. It's like whatever. So
I've never been a fan myself of the preformed. I'm always just let me do what I want to do with it.
I've gotten to the point where I'm doing like stuff like this to appease other people. Like I call it the dad hat, which is actually a term that people use.
Is.
If you look it up, people like there are dad hats, right? So now we're doing a few dad hats, and then, you know, we'll come out with some other cool stuff. But yeah, it's fun, man. I love that aspect and that extension of the brand, the apparel, doing hoodies. We've been trying to work on a design for a hoodie for like over a month with Steven lately, but he's been pretty busy. But it's just, that's a fun part of the brand.
Question. Do you have your own coffee grinder? Because I've been, I got a coffee roaster and I've been roasting some coffee. I'll send you some. Do you got a grinder or not?
We do have a grinder in the office. Okay. I don't, I'm too lazy to use it. But we have a grinder. We have a grinder and a French press. And then we have one of those, what is it, Keurig, where you put the pod in there and you just put it down. So because I am lazy and I don't like to clean stuff up, I just use the Keurig thing and then disposable cup, drink my coffee, have my cigar, and I'm good to go. So,
all right. So if I send you
a grinder, we do have a grinder though.
Yeah. Someone in the office knows how to use it.
Yeah, I can figure it out. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
It probably has one button.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Hopefully it has a lot of settings on it. But anyways,
we'll
figure that out.
Yeah, man.
I doubt it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have a coffee grinder too. No one asked me, Logan, but I've got one. Just saying.
Rob, listen, I don't care about you. Obviously, that's been well established for 5 years now. I give a crap less.
Abundantly clear. How much time we have left? We're just about done, right?
Let's do another question.
One more question. Do we have enough time?
Yeah. I'm in the other room now, so they can't hear me. I'm in the
other room. So we'll do another one from Trent here. And I don't know how forthcoming you'll be on this, but I'll ask anyway, because a couple of people asked this. What non-Crown Head cigar are you most excited about out of this year's releases at IPCPR? There was a ton.
Yeah, man. Unfortunately, I really didn't get to walk the floor this year to see what was out there. So I'm sure there's a ton of great stuff, but I just don't know what it is. So,
what was the last thing that you smoked that you guys didn't make?
Today, before I left, it was one of the Saints and Sinners packages from 2016, one of the Saints and Sinners cigars. I don't remember what number it was. It was like a little Corona. I mean, I smoke, you'd be surprised at how much non-Crown Head stuff that I smoke. It's a good bit. That's no secret. I've always been a fan of what Pete does, Tatuaje, Illusion, Warped. I've liked some of the stuff that Kyle has done out there. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Willie Herrera. I like, you know, Willie puts his hands on it. It's going to be good. It's just, you know, there's a lot of talented people in this industry. So why not enjoy, you know, their art, you know, their craft. So, I guess, God, give me something that came out at the show. I don't even.
Tabernacle.
The Tabernacle. I tried Nicholas.
Yeah, I tried Nicholas's cigar. I tried, Mi Querida? Was that Saka's cigar? Yeah. I tried that. I liked Saka's short Churchill of the Sober Mesa that he came out with at the show. I loved that size. That size was really good. I liked that version of it better than I liked last year's release of Sober Mesa, believe it or not.
I would agree with that.
I'll be honest with you, with Mi Querida and Tabernacle, both broadleaf extensions, you're probably asking the wrong guy because at that point, I had smoked so much broadleaf product throughout the beginning of 2016 that nothing was going to register on my palate as being exceptional. So I couldn't give either one of those guys a fair shake on that cigar. What else came out at the show?
A lot.
There was a lot of stuff, a lot of nothing though.
Honestly,
That's the problem with this year's show. Yeah, the problem with this year's show is that a lot of stuff came out not because it was going to be great, but because it had to come out
because of
the FDA thing, and that there's a difference.
Yeah.
Speaking for ourselves, even prior to the deeming regulations coming out in May, that was always our intent to do two. Was going to be Karem and Reyes. Always, we didn't change anything about that. That would have been the same way whether the FDA was there or not. So anyway, but
I think Logan, we're right up against it, right?
Yeah, we're it.
Yeah.
Ding, gosh. Ding.
Want to thank everybody that's tuned in the Armed Forces Radio Network. I say this every week. You guys are built to do something I'm not built to do. And I respect everything you guys do to keep us safe. We'll be back next week. We have a guest, but I don't have it plugged in on the site yet, so I can't tell you who it is. Big surprise.
Maybe it's the guy with the Pinolero cigar.
Maybe. Who knows? Thanks for tuning in.
It probably is.
John, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We do appreciate it.
Always fun. Thank you very much.
Everybody out there in the Armed Forces, have a great weekend. Great week. It's Tuesday. Great week. Great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll catch you next week on CigarFederation.com.
Cheers.
Later, people.
See y'all.
And we're back. Did John drop?
I'm here. I'm here. Out?
Yeah. No, he's still there.
Okay.
And now you can.
Because in the past, you just beat the fuck out.
He's out. Yeah.
Boom. I usually, I'm usually getting text messages from Laura like, it's time. It's time. But I moved the room so that AJ could sleep. So,
you're in hiding. So we are in the portion of the show. We're still live.
Yes.
So go out on our podcast, but you can say shit, bitch, cock, balls, fuck, whatever you want.
Oh, really? We're still on the show.
Yeah, people can still see you and hear you. We've got some headwear We've got some headwear that we're going to give away.
Douchebag isn't really a bad word, is it? I mean,
no, you can say douchebag.
Yeah,
I mean, really, it depends on its usage, but you can say it on the armed forces. That's fine. The
I think it was
and the fuck that you dropped.
Whatever question.
It's fine.
I don't think that was the question, Rob.
What? What's the question?
I think. John, were you referring to the term douchebag as a term of endearment or as in the context of the word douchebag? Or should it be allowed?
I think it should be allowed. There is such a thing, right? It's a douchebag, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's more like a douche bottle.
This is a subject we don't really need to get into.
I'm just trying to figure it out here. Anyways, continue.
Are people still watching this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
People can still see it.
I'm watching my computer like slowly go to death. So if I cut out on you guys, it's
no, that's fine. We're just about done. We got through most of the audience questions.
The battery isn't. Okay.
And we do want to, we wanted to pick some hat winners. I know you wanted to do three winners of of the dad hat, I guess is what you're calling it.
It's this hat, Crown Heads Against the World. Yeah. It comes with four colors.
Okay.
Cardinal, olive, charcoal and black.
So do you want the winners to pick a color, or are you just going to surprise?
Yeah, man. Just tell me what you want, and I'll make it happen.
All right. So I've got three winners. I picked them already based on their questions.
That was quick.
Well, it was just throughout the show. I was doing my job and paying attention to asking.
I'm fucking with you, Rob.
Yes, Rob.
Jeez.
I'm fucking with you. All right.
So
then you're going to do one grand prize for a fitted, right? So
I didn't pick the grand prize winner yet.
You could, whoever. How are we going to do that?
I don't know. We'll figure it out in a second.
All right.
So these guys, Logan, they're going to email you.
Sure.
And then John's going to send everything out directly. So we've got Shadow Bates is a big winner. KY is a big winner. And Mark, what the hell was your last name, Mark?
Probably Polinero.
It's not Polinero. It's not Pinolero. It's not nothing. I grew up in a town called Pinole, actually.
I know Pinole, California.
Yeah, that's right.
Dude, I know it. I know Pinole.
You've probably driven through it.
Like, yes,
right
I have.
Right past it. There's not a lot going on, but it's actually a cool little town. Mark Lambert is the winner. So those are our three winners. Again, Shadow Bates.
Isn't that the guy that won American Idol or something? Or Mark Lambert?
Probably.
I don't think so.
There was a Lambert back in the day.
No, it was Taylor something.
Swift?
Lambert, or
that's Taylor Swift's son.
No, it was the guy.
Oh, the
last name was like Taylor Lambert. Something.
Taylor Hicks.
He had the white hair.
It was Taylor Hicks.
Hicks. That's who it was.
It's not at all who we're talking.
Yeah. That guy was like 50 years old when he won the show.
You and him both AARP.
Adam Lambert. According to Trent, I don't know. Adam Lambert was, I don't know if he won or what, but I know that Mark Lambert did win a hat. So you three guys need to email Logan. And we're going to pick a winner for one of this exact hat fitted, which is
sizes may vary. There you go.
Around Los Calaveras.
Sizes
do vary. That is true.
Well, they do. I mean, if I have your size in stock, otherwise, you know, if some dude says, and believe me, I get the emails, I'm a size 8. Can you send me a size? What are you like? Milton the toaster head or something. It's like size
dude,
8.
Dude, what are
bro.
You saying, man? Are you saying I'm a toaster head?
Dude, you wear a size 8?
That's like 7 3/4, man.
That's a regular size.
That's 8 is like
7 3/8 is what I wear. But
that's normal. 7 3/8 is normal. But
one of my best friends, the guy was the best man at my wedding, gave a horrible best man speech. Absolutely awful. And he just would not stop. No, it was epic.
That makes it the best speech.
Oh, it was bad.
Right?
It's been 6 years. We're still talking about it. He wears a size 8, and it's funny, man. Like whenever you see, I'll get emails from like MLB.com that they're having like a clearance on Giants hats or something like that. Right. And there's always like the 6 and the 8 are the sizes that are always available. So he's learned if you've got a gigantic head, just wait until everything goes on clearance because your size will be available.
That's awesome. And then who's the pinhead that wears a 6, you know?
Yeah, my brother-in-law's got a tiny, tiny head. He has to wear like kid sizes. I'll buy the youth
snapback.
Yeah, like I've in past years I bought him like a baby size hat just kind of as a joke. He's got a tiny, tiny head. So how do we want to give away the fitted? Any ideas?
It's all up to you guys. It's your show.
I'm just Logan. Waiting. What do you think? You want to pick somebody random or have them email you with something funny or what?
I don't give a shit.
Everybody's in the chat room saying their size.
And, okay, whoever's got the sizes closest to an 8, legitimately.
Hey, here we go. Let's pick Robbie's size. Whoever's a 7 3/8 wins.
All right. Done.
I have 7 3/8 in there.
Okay, well, then we've got a winner. That is right, that's Garen. Garen, ATL Logics. Garen's a 7 3/8. He was the first person to put his size, actually. So there you go. Winner.
Perfect. Oh, winner, chicken dinner.
And Trent happens to be a 7 3/8 too. So we'll see what we can
send them both. We'll take care of them.
We'll get Trent hooked up. So there you go. You got to have a good size, regular size dome.
There you go.
You get the gear, man. You get the gear. Absolutely.
Right on.
So we got through all these questions, and I feel like we did. Jay wanted to say thank you for the T-shirt that he won on Twitter. So thank you for. He must have recently won a.
Yeah, man. T-shirt. He won the last IPCPR T-shirt. We had the ones that said Hez will roll, and then an IPCPR on the back. We had one left at the office, and so Jay won it, and I sent it out. He should be getting it next day or two, so look for it in the mail. Yeah. I threw a couple extra things in there for you, Jay. So,
and Jay is. Do you know what branch of the service Jay is in, Logan?
He's Army.
He's in the Army.
Better. Now I'm feeling better about it. Cool.
Yeah, he's
very cool.
He's home now, I think. He's served his country admirably. So it's
thank you for that service.
To send some gear his way. I think we're good. We can wrap it up,
boys.
John, appreciate it, brother.
It's been real.
Always a pleasure, man. Awesome. We'll be in touch.
Cheers.
Guys, thanks for checking out. Thanks for checking out another Cigar Chat. We appreciate it. And he's gone. Boom.
I'm gone. He's like, oh, I'm gone. Fuck this.
Oh, man. Fuck your couch. Fuck your couch. I'm not going to grind my feet into somebody's couch. I got more sense than that.
Dude, I was watching Chappelle on Hulu last night. And still, the very first episode of the first season with Pop Copy and Clayton Bigsby, like, dude, it was like 12 o'clock, and I woke Allie up. I was laughing so hard.
I met Dave Chappelle.
That was just the – oh, my God, he's so awesome.
I met him in 1998. I was working at Starbucks. I hated that job. I worked there for a month. I was working at Starbucks. It was right in front of a Punchline Comedy Club. And he was playing the Punchline that night, and he came in and bought like a mocha or something. And everything he said, I rang him up. I didn't make the drink, but everything he said made me laugh. And he looked at me like I was an idiot. So that's my Dave Chappelle story. But that guy is freaking hilarious, man. Hilarious.
I know. He was so good.
Anything else? Any parting words of wisdom?
Don't forget to have your pet spayed or neutered. I don't know, Rob. What do we got next week?
I don't know. It is next Thursday. Well, you know what? Maybe we don't have a show next week because I'm at the ballpark.
Well, why don't you just kind of let me know what we're doing here? No,
not the day of. You don't want to know day of?
Yeah.
It worked out well today.
Please.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, I know. It's cool.
This is my last homestand unless they somehow get their shit together and make it in the playoffs. So from here on out, we should be Thursdays, but we'll see what happens.
Cool.
Cool. Thanks for checking out another show, guys. Appreciate it. And that's it. Keep it real, as they say.
Later.
Later.